This recording, Tennessee 3, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Karma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The goose gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot-and-mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Karma, Karma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Karma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her, but Sarah had a different idea. First she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold Karma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. I can't imagine paying so much, but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. One Christmas, I was probably 12 or 13 years old. I got a bow and arrow for Christmas. And I had a bunch of uncles who were fireworks nuts. And they would always blow something up Thanksgiving, Christmas, anytime they got together. So that Christmas, they decided they would see how high they could shoot a cherry bomb. And they blew up all my arrows on Christmas Day. I never shot a one. My dad was not too happy about that. He wasn't one of them. He was a little put out with them, to say the least. But they were quite a strange bunch. They would just strap one onto the end of the arrow and with tape, and then they'd just draw back, and somebody would light it, and then they'd let it go. They had a lot of things they would do with fireworks. They had a pipe they would stick in the ground. Then they would take a cherry bomb. Now, back then, cherry bombs were pretty explosive. And one of them would hold the cherry bomb. One of them would light it. Another one would drive a stob. You know, they'd drop the cherry bomb down into the pipe. Somebody would drive a stob down into the pipe. Then they'd put a tin can over it. And then they'd blow it off and just see how high. They'd do that for hours. It's a wonder nobody'd been killed. But as far as I know, nobody was ever hurt.